Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank
Amen.
you, Jesus. Amen. We truly serve a wonderful God, and I just thank God for his love, his mercy, his generosity, all that he does for each and every one of us. He is truly a good God, a wonderful God and Savior. And on this evening, it is so good to be before you one more time. I truly thank God for all those who have been interceding and praying for us, continuing to be on the prayer line. This week has been a challenging week. And even today, I am not feeling well, saints of God, but we are going to press our way through, which is a part of my message. Pressing your way through sometimes when you don't feel like it. When you don't want to move, when you don't want to get out of bed, when you feel like there's no praise in your body, there's no strength to raise your hands and say, thank you, Jesus. You have got to press your way through it all. And I'm going to press my way through whatever I am feeling on today because there is so much that is going on in the atmosphere. We cannot afford not to press our way through it all. And my message on today is faith that refuses to stay comfortable because we cannot be comfortable in this season, this 320-year series. This is part four of it. Faith that refuses to stay comfortable. My anchor scripture is going to be St. James chapter 2, verses 17. We're not going to get there yet, but because I want to talk about faith. I want to talk about how we're not supposed to be comfortable in our faith, that faith is not supposed to be convenient. Faith is not a cute quote that you post when you're in a good mood. Faith is a movement. Faith is action. Faith is obedience, even when it costs you something. And if we're going to step into everything that God has promised us in this 320 year, we're going to need a faith that refuses to stay comfortable. So I want to make sure that we are in the place to receive everything that God has for us, which is why I've been doing this four-part series. And if I'm going to be transparent, as I mentioned, I'm not feeling well. Last week was, I felt like a testing week. It tested everything that I've been preaching to you because we started off this year decreeing and declaring that this is our 320 year, exceedingly abundantly above. This is our immeasurably more year. We talked about breaking patterns that will block your overflow and surrendering control to God. That's right. Take your hands off the steering wheel and let God take full control. We must be submissive to him. And then this week happened. And I can't give you all the details, but one of the things I know, because the battle was still not over, but one of the things I can tell you that this week was a spiritual warfare weekend. And I want to make sure that you hear me, that sometimes you don't have to go looking for trouble. It will find you.
Amen. Amen.
It will show up when you least expect it. It attacks you when you're pressing towards breakthrough. And I want to tell you this, that this week really solidified that I had to trust God even the more. It really solidified that listen, it made me fight in the spirit even harder. It made me lean not to my own understanding. It made me lean on my tribe to pray with me and for me. And I'm sitting here this evening, not because the battle was over, but because I know who gives the victory. God is the one that gives us all the victory when the enemy comes in as a flood, when the enemy is roaring, when the enemy is trying to tear you apart, when the enemy is trying to get to your cubs, when the enemy wants everything that you have, when the enemy is trying to devour your peace, God is the one who gives us the victory.
Amen. 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 Glory to God.
And this is why I'm preaching this message today, because sometimes we think that when you step into a new year, when you step into a new season, and specifically when you believe in God for exceedingly more, when you believe in God for immeasurably more, everything is just going to be smooth sailing. You think breakthrough means no battle. You think overflow means no opposition. You think promotion means no persecution. But I want to remind you that the enemy does not want you to have anything He will stand in your way. He will distract you, and he will deter you, and he will fight you to make you give up. But I don't see anything in front of me but victory. The devil is a liar. See anything in front of me but the winner's circle, because my faith is in God and nothing can separate us from his love. We are already victorious.
Amen. Amen.
And the only thing the devil did was make me mad. The only thing the devil did was make me shove myself even further in my prayer closet. The only thing the devil did is make me stand on the word of God even more. The only thing the devil did is make me really fight. Listen, I don't fight with cursing. I don't have to buck with my tongue. I buck in prayer. I buck with and by speaking, and I buck in a whole different way. I'm not fighting a physical battle. I know that my weapons of warfare, they are not carnal, but they are mighty through God for the pulling down and of strongholds. And there are some demonic strongholds, saints of God, that we are fighting as never before.
Amen. Amen.
Demonic. But that's why we need the word of God. That's why you've got to know the word of God. St. James chapter 2:17 says, even so faith, if it have no works, is dead, being alone. In other words, you can shout all day, you can speak in tongues, you can dance around your house, you can cry, but listen, you've got to move. If you never move when God tells you to move, your faith is not alive, because living faith produces action, and dead faith produces nothing but excuses. And as we are moving closer to our purpose, as we are moving closer to breakthrough, listen, the enemy is letting us know you've got to not only turn up the fire, you got to move in the midst of the fire. That's why we talked about the three Hebrew boys. They wasn't just sitting in the fire saying, woe is me. They were actually moving. And that's what he said. I don't just see three people. I see four people moving in the fire.
Amen. Amen.
That's faith in action. And God is looking for us to be in action with our faith. If not, it is nothing but dead faith that produces excuses. I'm going to wait for the right time. I'm going to wait on God. No, God ain't. You ain't got to wait on God. God is waiting on you. Faith is it has to be moving. We're on a 320 journey. That means you got to be traveling. You got to be going somewhere. Your faith has got to be alive and active, constantly on the move. And the enemy will do anything to try to deter you, to try to distract you. See, week one, we declared overflow, right? Week two, we broke down patterns that block it. And week three, we surrender control to God. And then what does the devil do next? Because when you make those declarations, when you break those patterns, and when you surrender control, the enemy is going to test whether your faith is active and alive or is it dead. You just talk about it, but never do anything. You never go any further. And the only way to prove that your faith is alive is through works, through action, through obedience, and even when it's uncomfortable. See, I want you to understand something that what the enemy doesn't need to do, because he doesn't always need to destroy you. Sometimes he just needs to make you comfortable. Well, I've been in this job all these years. Where am I gonna go? You comfortable. God has so much more in store for you, because comfort will have you staying in places all that God already told you to leave. Comfort will have you entertaining what God already told you to cut off. Comfort will have you settling for almost when God promised overflow. Comfort sounds like I'll fast when I'm not too busy. I'll pray when I have more time. I'll obey when it feels right. I'll move when it really makes sense. I'll start when the conditions are better. See, that's what comfort says. But 320 faith, no, boo-boo. 320 faith says God said it And that settles it. And as you know, on February 1st, we're about to start our 21-day fast, right? And so 21 days, we're going to be aligning our hearts, renewing our minds, and strengthening our fear and spirits for the promises of God in 2026. And so what, because we're going into this time of consecration, this time of focus, this time of committing ourselves to God, the enemy is like, oh, you want to do that? Oh, you really trying to stand 10 toes deep that this is your year of immeasurable faith? Oh, really? So what does the enemy do? And trust me, I'm telling you this from experience, saints of God, there is nothing new about the enemy's tricks, plots, plans, schemes, and strategies. Just when you're about to start fasting, you'll go into the office or you'll be invited somewhere, and here comes some food when you're supposed to be fasting. That's not coincidence. That's the devil, the enemy, Lucifer, Satan, trying to tempt you to break your covenant with God. And then he'll go from day one to tempting you today to week one, when he'll begin to have invitations come out the blue. Girl, let's go to a bougie brunch. You know I'm fasting, right? That's how spiritual warfare works. Testing your commitment. In
Amen.
the middle of the fast, you'll start feeling weak all of a sudden and tired, and you feel like, oh, I'm ready to quit. I'm ready to throw in the towel. Oh, if I just take a little nibble, ain't nobody gonna know about it. That's not your body failing. That's the enemy trying to get you to give up prematurely right before your breakthrough. That's what he does, and I'm preparing you to make sure that you can withstand the tricks of the enemy so that you can withstand the plots of the enemy. And here's what you really need to do. Understand that God's 320 promise for exceedingly abundantly above is going to require 320 faith, which is uncomfortable because it requires discipline when you want to ease. It requires obedience when you want options. It requires sacrifice when you want shortcuts. And it requires perseverance when you want to quit. That is the 320 faith you're going to need this year.
Amen. Amen.
Because the
Amen.
enemy wants you comfortable. Because comfortable Christians don't threaten his kingdom. See, comfortable Christians say, I love God, but you shacked up. That's a comfortable Christian, okay? Comfortable Christians say, the Lord knows my heart while they're stealing, right? That's a comfortable Christian. But if household of faith, we're not called to be comfortable. We're called to be conquerors. Romans 8 and 37 says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. See, we are more than conquerors. And that's why the enemy continues to be on us and be after us, because faith is not something that you do after everything gets easy. Faith is what we do while it's hard. Faith is what we do while it's uncomfortable. Faith is what we do while you're afraid. Faith is what you do while you're under attack. Because if you wait until it feels safe, you'll never walk by faith.
Amen. Amen.
You'll never walk by sight. That's what 2 Corinthians 5 and 7 says. For we walk by faith and not by sight. But if you wait for all the conditions to be right, you'll never do it. You'll never do it. I was thinking about how I was off on Monday, right? Because Monday was MLK. And this is why Dr. Martin Luther King still matters even today. Because he didn't wait for the conditions to change. He didn't wait for people to become comfortable with justice. He didn't wait for society to be ready. He acted while uncomfortable. He spoke while even being threatened. He marched while he was afraid, and he led while under attack. And I came to tell you this evening, that's what 320 faith looks like. Faith requires courage, not convenience. Faith requires action, not analysis. Faith requires movement, not just prayer alone. You're going to have to move when God tells you to move. When the warfare hit my family, I had no choice. I could wait until things got better to pray. I could wait until I felt strong to fight. I could wait until I understood everything to, but instead I chose to trust God. Instead, I chose faith. So I prayed while I was hurting. I worshiped while I was weeping. I declared victory while I was still in the midst of the battle. And I trusted God when I didn't even understand or know all the facts. That is 320 faith. And that's when the Holy Spirit showed up. That's when the angels were dispatched. That's when the tide began to turn, because you can't wait for perfect conditions to activate your 320 faith. James says faith without works is dead. That means faith is improving by your vocabulary. Faith is proven by your footsteps. And baby, sometimes you gotta pray until God says, now I have made your enemies a footstool. Now I have made your enemies beneath you. Now I have given you the victory. Now I have opened up the windows of heaven and pulled you out of blessing that you won't have room to contain it. Now have lifted up a standard that your enemies can't reach you. You got to pray until something's happened.
Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God.
See, sometimes, some of us, sometimes we shout about open doors, but God says, walk to the door at least. Sometimes we pray for healing, but God says, at least change how you begin to come into your state of healing. The things that you're doing, speak over your body, begin to move by faith, knowing that you are healed. Sometimes we pray for financial breakthrough, but God's saying, are you even faithful over the things I already gave you? Sometimes we pray for deliverance, but God says you need to cut off the very thing that's been keeping you bound. That's how you work your faith.
Amen. Amen. Praise
We
God.
got to fight in the spirit for the saints. Take your victory in the name of Jesus, because the enemy, he ain't gonna let you have it easy. You're gonna have to fight for this. Sometimes you gotta moan and groan for this. Sometimes you gotta cry for this. That's why the apostle said these things come by fasting and praying. Sometimes you gotta fast, you gotta pray, you gotta weep, you gotta listen, you gotta let God know, I'm laying it all on the line, God, because I trust you.
Amen. Amen.
See, one thing I love about God is that he never tries to trick us. But the enemy does. He wants to prove that your faith is dead. That's why he's going to send temptation via food cravings. He's going to send distraction. He'll all of a sudden you're so busy that you can't pray. He'll send discouragement, or he'll make you feel like your prayers aren't working, that God isn't hearing you. He'll send division, arguments, misunderstandings, just out of nowhere. But faith, living faith, says, I will not be moved. Living faith says, I am committed. Living faith says, my work will match my worship. See, faith has to show up in how you live. Faith has to show up in how you speak. Faith has to show up in what you do next. And I need you to understand and to hear me in the spirit that many miracles are not in prayer alone. They're in obedience. They're in listening to the instructions of God. See, prayer is the invitation and obedience is the activation, because God will answer you, but he will also require you to move.
Amen. Amen.
Right? Like Moses, he said, what? Lift up your rod and the Red Sea parted. He had to do something, right? The walls of Jericho, he said, march if you want the walls to fall. And they fell, right? The woman who needed the oil, right? He said, go to all your neighbors, get all the jars, take the oil. She had to do something. And as she started pouring the oil, it never ran dry. We've got to activate our faith in this 320 year. You cannot stay in the boat and call it faith. Imagine if Peter just sat there. No, he had to step out. He had to do something. You cannot stay bound and call it belief. You cannot stay stagnant and call it spiritual. Faith has to move. You have to obey to activate it. And when you fast with your prayer over the next 21 days, what? Activating the 320 promise. We're saying, God, we're serious about our overflow. We're declaring we're willing to be uncomfortable for breakthrough. We're willing to be demonstrating that our faith is alive and it is active. And I really want to make sure that you understand this, because when spiritual warfare comes, Ooh, did I say? You don't have time to look for oil. You don't have time to learn how to pray. You don't have time to figure out spiritual warfare. You need to already be ready. And I always say, if you're ready, you ain't have to get ready if you stay ready. And I want to make sure you understand these four key tools that's going to sustain you this week. They will sustain you when when testing comes your way. And that's going to be number one. If you know how to fight in the spirit, you don't need somebody else to do it for you.
Amen.
Ephesians 6 and 12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So, what does that mean? Well, let me tell you, this week, I didn't have time to call no prophet, no prophetess. I didn't have time to get on the prayer line. I didn't have time. He had time to get in my prayer closet, catch a flight, and fight. And church, you need to know how to fight too. You need to know how to plead the blood of Jesus, bind up the enemy, loose the angels, declare the word of God, and worship in the midst of your warfare. You cannot afford in this season depend on somebody else's prayer life. Instead, you ought to make it your business to build your own. Period. Number two, if you know how to speak over your life, you can silence instantly the voice of the enemy. Proverbs 18 and 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. When the enemy tried to attack, he will always come with every lie that he knows. You're not going to lose. This is too big for you. God has forsaken you. You're not strong enough. Lie after lie after lie. But I began to open up my mouth and declare that I am more than a conqueror. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. God is with me. I have the victory. And when I spoke, the atmosphere shifted. And I want to make sure because that you understand this, because you need to know how to prophesy over your own life. Stop arguing with the devil's narrative and start declaring God's promises over your life. Number three, if you hear from God, you know the difference between him and the devil. Because in John 10, 27, the word of God declares that my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. In the midst of spiritual warfare, voices are coming from every direction. Voices of fear, voices of doubt, voices of condemnation, voices of confusion, voices of guilt, voices of shame, all kinds of voices. But because I know God's voice, I could discern which voice to follow. Why? Because I am his sheep and I know my daddy's voice. And this is why you need to spend time in his presence daily, not just on Saturday, not just on Tuesday, not just in the crisis, but every single day. Because when you know Daddy's voice, you will never be deceived by the enemies.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Number four,
Praise God.
if you stay in the presence of the Holy Spirit, you don't have to worry about the presence of evil. Here's a profound truth that carried me all this week. Darkness and light cannot occupy the same space. Hint. 1 John 1 and 5. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. When you stay in God's presence, the enemy cannot operate. Demons have to flee. Fear has to leave, and peace will take over. And this week, I didn't try to figure out the enemy's plan. I didn't try to strategize against him. I just stayed in the presence of the Holy Spirit. I worshiped when I wanted to worry. I prayed when I wanted to panic, and I praised when I wanted to complain. And the presence of God drove out every presence of evil. In less than 48 hours, I was on two planes. And when I tell you, God kept me. When turbulence came, God kept me. When my heart was racing, God kept me. When I wanted to cry, God kept me. He reassured me, daughter, I got you. And me and my husband had to separate and go different routes. God kept me.
Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Wasn't by studying the enemy, but by staying in the presence of God.
Yes,
So
God.
it's important to understand the enemy only fights with who and what threatens him.
It's not. It's not.
If you're no threat, he's gonna leave you alone. If you're committed to living for him, if you're committed to fulfilling your purpose, if you're committed to consecrate,
It will be
you
tested.
become, yes, Papa,
It will be tested.
you become a weapon in God's hand, and the enemy has to respond. Let me give you a real example, right? Talk about this week, right? Because by faith, there was a deadline for January 15th. Most of you know I have filed for the farm number for the house. And so by faith, I made it my business. I don't know what I'm doing, saints of God, but by faith, I heard that there was a deadline for application for farming funding. And by faith, I submitted and applied to the USDA to expand our orchard. This funding will allow us to get resources to plant real crops and so much more. This is 320 overflow in action. And God doing exceedingly abundantly above what we could ask or think. And I, by faith, scheduled an appointment with this farmer consultant to prepare me for all the actual USDA work and the meeting that was ahead of me, because the representative from the USDA in my county responded and said, "I got your application, Ms. Wallace, and I want to talk to you about your goals." I'm like, "Oh my God, I've never done this before." So I hired this consultant. This appointment was critical. It was supposed to be Thursday morning at 10 a.m. I was not going to make it. I needed that preparation. I needed that information. And guess what happened? The warfare told me that you ain't gonna make it. The warfare told me you need to give up. The warfare told me, see, you that's why you shouldn't try and make it a farm. The warfare, which was trying to talk to me in so many different ways, but I knew that I had to reschedule that appointment. See, he didn't just attack my family. He tried to make me give up on the appointment. That's his strategy altogether. So he tried to make me say, "You know what? It's not working right. Just give up, skip it." But I was like, "No, I'm not doing that." I was so determined to do that meeting. Now, finally, and I didn't have my computer with me. I'm trying to figure out how I can reschedule it. All kinds of things was not working in my favor, it felt like. But I pressed my way through it. And
Amen.
I managed to reschedule it, and I showed up and I got the information I needed. And now I'm prepared for the USDA meeting that could release the funding we need to do the work we want to do on the farm. But I want you to understand and see what the enemy was trying to do. He wasn't just attacking my family. He was trying to block our breakthrough, block our blessings, block deliverance, block, let me tell you, block our legacy. See, he knew that if he can get us to miss the meeting, if he could get us to delay and derail the entire funding process, he knew that he would have us completely discouraged. And I refused to give up on the appointment and potentially miss out on what God is trying to release us. And I pressed through in spite of all the obstacles.
Amen. Amen.
And I'm telling you this evening because you're going to have to press your way through when an enemy attacks. Press through. When obstacles are piling up and come at you from every direction, you gotta press through. When you want to quit, press through. When it gets hard, you've got to press through because your breakthrough is on the other side of your pressing.
Amen. Amen.
That's why it's so important to press your way through. See, the enemy strategy is not something new strategy. His playbook is simple. Too many for it's too simple. He does the same thing time and time again.
Yes, Lord.
And you'll be able to make sure you're able to recognize it, especially as we're going into our 21 days of consecration, right? Because his strategy, let me tell you, his strategy again is to tempt you, right? That's a part of his strategy. Right? His strategy is to discourage you. That's a part of his strategy. His strat because he don't want you to see any results, right? A part of his strategy is to distract you, right? Keeping you busy, right? A part of his strategy is offense and division. So this way, you don't have anybody to touch and agree with. This way, now you're too mad to focus on studying. This way, your mind is racing about all these other things when you need to spend time getting closer to God. His strategy is to whisper in your ear and make you feel like that you need to quit. That good enough is not good enough. That is a part of his strategy. But we're not going to fall for Satan's usual okey doke. No, we're not going to fall for that. Why? Because victory is on the other side of your pressing. Victory is on the other side of you not falling for the enemy's plan, schemes, and tricks. That's why we've got to press our way through. Nothing new. He does
Amen.
nothing new. It's
Amen.
the same. It's the same. So it's the same until I'm bored with it. I want to yawn sometimes, but he'll keep you spinning in circles if you let him. This is spiritual warfare. And I was praying the other day. I said, if I could just grab the enemy just one more time, just one time, right? If I just, like a street fight, right? But it's a spiritual battle. You have to use your spiritual weapons on him. And you have to pray without ceasing. Believe God even when it's against the odds. And know that we, as children of God, we walk in victory. And you will see breakthrough and you will experience overflow. But we've got to make sure that we stay focused and we got to continue to stay in God's face. God wants to make sure. Let me tell you, he is faithful. Philippians 1 and 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The same God who started us on his 320-year journey, he will finish it. That's the God that we serve.
Amen. Amen.
He will finish the work that he has started. And I know, as let me tell you, this fast is getting some close. I've been feeling it. Like I said, it's been warfare all this week. Not just my personal life. Went back to the job, and my manager's pinging me. Where you at? I'm supposed to be announcing you transition to another team. And I'm saying to myself, announce it. You don't need me to announce anything. Need to be here. Spiritual warfare. I rushed back and got back online. I'm here. Man, they don't really need me. But the enemy has them feeling, where's Amshon? Where's Amshon? Where's she at? Because the enemy too, right? I know the enemy. What he does.
I feel crippled, Bedota.
Oh, I don't want to pay you for it. That's a whole nother sermon. But thank God he always takes care of his people.
Amen.
And during these next 21 days, we are going to stay in the presence of God. And with the fast is going to start February 1st. I'm getting this ready for it spiritually because we're fasting to align our hearts with God's hearts. We're fasting to renew our minds with God's word. We're fasting to strengthen our spirits for God's promises in 2026. And one of the things I decided to do this fast, if we're asking God for immeasurably more, don't you think it's only right that we do immeasurably more? Don't you think we need to be taking our fasting to give me up a level? Right? Yes, we should. Because we want God to see and know that our faith is indeed in action. It is living and it is active. So this year, what I decided to do, we're going to take it up a notch,
Amen.
right?
Amen.
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 Pull this out real quick. Why is this acting up on me? So what are we going to do? I'm going to share my screen. So I want to make sure you can see what I see. So this is what we're going to do. So I have broken it down because I want to make sure that, again, we're asking God for immeasurably more. We're going to do immeasurably more. Amen. We're going to take this up another notch. I want to go to this screen. All right. That's what I want. So again, February 1st to February 21st. So for food, you have to choose a track. So this time I give you options. So there's three tracks to this. Okay. And again, we're aligning our hearts, renewing our minds, and strengthening our spirits for the next 21 days. So you can either pick option A, which is pretty much a Daniel fast. Okay. This is fruits, vegetables, nuts, water. Okay. No processed, no fried foods. This is pretty much the Daniel fast. Or you can pick option B, or you have one meal and with light produce, okay? Or you can pick option C. Option C is going to be more what we're probably used to, where you take one thing and you eliminate something, right? So that one thing could be no sugar, it could be no meat, it could be no dairy. That's option C. Okay, so I want you to pick one. I'm telling, letting you know now, so you have time to think about it before February 1st comes. Amen. So either Daniel fast, just no, just pure fruits, vegetables, nuts, water. Basically, you're a vegetarian for 21 days. No processed food. Track B, one meal a day. Okay, so that's track B. Track C, you pick one thing you want to eliminate from your diet. Amen. Here's the other thing. So we got that. Choose a track. How we're up in the ante. Every day, I want you to spend either, I want you to pick a time frame, either 20, you got to pick one of these. Okay? Every day. I want you to pick either 20 minutes of prayer. Like if you want a prayer line, that's 15 minutes. Add another 15 minutes to it. Okay? Would you pick either 20 minutes of prayer? 30 minutes of prayer. I want you to get a scripture for every single day. Lucky for you, I've already given you a scripture because I have a 21-day journal, okay, that everyone's going to have access to. Okay. And then every day, I want you to worship. Pick a song, okay? A song a day, and you worship God. We're going to up the ante on the enemy. We're going to up the ante on aligning with God. We're going to up the ante and strengthen ourselves spiritually so that God can do this 320 breakthrough in our lives. So 20 or 30 minutes of prayer. I'm giving you scripture with reflection and the 21-day prayer journal, and grab a song, and every day you worship God.
Amen. Amen.
Every day, just worship Him. You don't want nothing, you just want to adore Him. You don't want nothing, you just want to praise Him. You ain't begging for nothing, you just admire Him. God, I thank you. I'm grateful. God, thank you for your love. Thank you, love me when I didn't love myself. That was me. I didn't even like myself, and God loved me. And I thank Him every day for that. I didn't know how my life was going to turn out, but He saw something special in me that I never even saw in myself.
Amen.
And I thank Him for that every day. You find a song, you just worship Him for how much He loves on you, the imperfect side of you, the things that nobody knows about you, where even the world, sometimes it feel like your prayers can't even get to. But God, I worship you. And I know your worship, but get in those places that I still need you. Get in those places that are still weak. Get in those places that are still vulnerable. I want you to pick a song and you worship Him. Then the last thing I want you to do, I want you to choose two to eliminate: either social media, TV, gossip, complaining, news. Those things like you just scrolling, like I'm going from CNN to this news to that news. No, baby, listen, we're not saying the news. We're saying the good news called the Bible for
Amen.
21 days.
Amen.
Let's get rid of the complaining spirit for truly for 21 days. You can stop complaining. For 21 days, you can stop talking about those bills. You can stop talking about that mortgage. You can stop talking about that car for 21 days. Stop talking about that knee that ain't been acting right for 2 years. For 21 days, you can stop talking about it. No complaining for 21 days. So I want you to pick two. Social media, 21 days. You can stay off TikTok. That's me. You know that. 21 days, you can stay off Instagram, right? 21 days, you can stay off Hulu, Netflix for 21 days. Bridgerton, this star back. You can stay off it for 21 days. See how the enemy throw yourself like, what about this? Oh, Bridgerton. 21 days, we can do it. Gossiping. 21 days, you can stop talking about your cousin. You can stop talking about auntie for 21 days.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I ain't got no auntie to talk about. I ain't got no cousin to talk about.
But something that, the thing that steals your mental capacity, right? Eliminate it. Worrying. Stop. 21 days. We ain't doing worrying. 20, we ain't doing no worrying for 21 days.
Amen.
Ain't gonna worry about it. 21 days. And that's why we're replacing it, right? With worship, with journaling, with scripture, with prayer for 21 days.
Amen.
Right? That's what we're doing. Right, and I'm working on the website because I want you to be able to download the 21-day journal. Right, I'm working. I started working on it. Actually, tore it up. I got to fix it this weekend. Right, messing with it. Amen. So for 21 days, this will be on the website. You'll be able to download the PDF of the prayer journal. Amen. But the key is, I want to make sure that we are fully committed and dedicated during this time with God for 21 days.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. And make
Amen.
sure everybody has a copy of this. Amen.
Amen.
God truly wants this to be our best year yet. And that's why I decree and declare that your faith is alive. I decree and declare that you will not stay comfortable. I decree and declare that you will move when God speaks, that you will complete your 20-day fast successfully, the way that you plan to complete it. I decree and declare that you will fight in the spirit, that you will speak life over your situation, that you will stay in God's presence, that the enemy is a defeated foe, that you are more than the conqueror, that this is your 320-year exceeding abundantly above. This is your immeasurably more year in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise
I
God.
speak that over your life, and nothing by any means shall steal your breakthrough, steal your testimony, steal your overflow away from you in the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Because if God be for you,
Who
who
can be against?
can be against you?
Amen. Amen.
Give God some praise.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Glory to you, Lord. Glory to you. Yes, Lord.
Amen, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Love you, Jesus. God be the glory. Amen. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Amen. God is truly a wonderful God. And I can't wait to see all the great and wonderful things he's going to do in each and every one of your lives. Amen.
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 Amen.